Don't be scared for who you are. There's very negative people out there.
We love Iraq. We never want to leave Iraq. But we cannot live with people. They don't want us to live there.
I told him, I love you. He don't give me answer. Just kiss me.
We communicate together by Skype. I eat breakfast. He eat dinner. After she asks me a question, ask us both. And she tell him, you've been accepted to the United States. We've been waiting 5 years to hear that.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Chile's president proposes marriage equality, a Japanese trans man challenges forced sterilization, and out of Iraq, heroes define what is love. Those stories and more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm Danny Cruz.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 11, 2017. Chile's president, Michelle Bachelet, has announced that her government is drafting a bill to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples. She said that after a careful review process, the proposal would be submitted to Congress before the end of June. After she promised to push for marriage equality during her re-election campaign, Bachelet disappointed her LGBT supporters by signing a less-than-equal civil unions bill in 2015. But she said last year that her government would introduce a marriage equality bill in 2017. The celebration by equality advocates has been tempered, however, by word from government sources that the bill is not being given a high priority. Bachelet's term ends in March 2018. Polls show that almost 2 in 3 Chileans support civil marriage equality. But the proposal faces stiff opposition from conservative politicians and church officials in the predominantly Roman Catholic country.
Bermuda's Royal Gazette newspaper reported this week on the start of a civil marriage equality case at the British Overseas Territories Supreme Court. During the first hearings on January 30th, Mark Pettengill, the lawyer for Bermudian Winston Godwin, and his Canadian fiancé, Greg DeRoche, told Judge Charles Etta Simmons that the country's Human Rights Act protected his client's right to marry. Pettengill, Bermuda's former attorney general, said the case is the very definition of the right of all people to seek love and happiness. He noted that the 3 government officials specifically named as defendants in the lawsuit now support civil marriage equality. So, he asked the court, why are we even here? Conservative religious groups in the North Atlantic island, led by Preserve Marriage, which campaigns to maintain the definition of civil marriage as between one man and one woman, has been allowed to join the case as an intervener. Plaintiff Godwin wore an irreverent t-shirt to court that read, "Some dudes marry dudes, get over it." The newspaper reported that hearings in the case were expected to take several days.
A 43-year-old man in Japan is challenging laws that require trans people to be sterilized before they're allowed to legally change their gender. Takakito Usui was born female but identifies as a man. He was told he had to undergo medical sterilization and stay unmarried and childless before his male gender would be recognized by the state. In appealing this week's family court ruling that said the laws are not unreasonable, Usui argues that they're out of touch with reality. The essential thing should not be whether you have had an operation or not, but how you want to live as an individual. Usui has been living with his girlfriend and her son since last year and wants to legally change his gender on the family register so he can marry her as a man. The Justice Ministry said the surgery requirement was put in place to avoid confusion and problems that would arise when a child was born because of the reproductive ability retained from the former sex. The World Health Organization called for the abolition of required sterilization of trans and intersex people in 2014, saying such forced medical procedures are a violation of basic human rights.
Following a similar move in the UK last week, the government of New Zealand has announced plans to expunge the criminal records of people convicted of indecency, sodomy, or providing a place for homosexual acts. Those were all against the law there until 1986. Justice Minister Amy Adams told reporters this week that about 1,000 gay and bisexual men will be eligible to have their convictions quashed. Families of convicted people who've since died will also be able to apply for a pardon on their relatives' behalf. There is no doubt that homosexual New Zealanders who were convicted and branded as criminals for consensual activity suffered tremendous hurt and stigma, she said. We are sorry for what those men and their families have gone through. Sex between women in New Zealand was never explicitly outlawed.
In other news, a privileged white woman from Michigan who has supported several anti-LGBT causes, including the far-right Focus on the Family and so-called cure therapy to make LGBT people straight, and an unapologetically sexist, homophobic, and racist U.S. senator from Alabama, officially joined the cabinet of Donald J. Trump this week.
Betsy DeVos, a champion of private education who never met a public school she liked, was approved as Secretary of Education by the U.S. Senate on February 7th. For the first time in the history of cabinet confirmations, however, two Republican defectors and a United Democratic caucus yielded a 50-50 tie, forcing Vice President Mike Pence, the titular Senate president, to cast the deciding vote in her favor.
The Senate confirmed Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III as the next U.S. Attorney General the following day. The vote of 52-47 was generally along party lines, with one Democratic senator, Joe Manchin of Virginia, joining the GOP majority. As senator, Sessions opposed civil marriage equality, LGBT-inclusive hate crimes laws, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and an LGBT-inclusive version of the Violence Against Women Act. He's stridently opposed to a woman's right to choose and immigration reform, and has also come under fire for making racist statements. His questionable prosecution of black voting rights activists as a state attorney in Alabama derailed his nomination for a federal judgeship in 1986. Civil rights activists are uniformly anxious over Sessions becoming the nation's top law enforcement officer. There's been endless speculation about what cases the Civil Rights Division in his Department of Justice will decide to prosecute.
On the heels of professional U.S. football's Super Bowl in Houston that brought an estimated $500 million into the city, the Republican-dominated state legislature is pressing forward on a clone of North Carolina's notorious bathroom bill, HB2. The bill is still in committee, but reportedly a top priority of Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. It would require trans people to use sex-segregated public facilities such as bathrooms and locker rooms, which conform to their gender on their birth certificate rather than their gender identity. The National Football League put Patrick and the 15 GOP co-sponsors of Senate Bill 6 on notice this week that its passage could cost the state future Super Bowls. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said in response to a question from the Houston Chronicle that if Senate Bill 6 passes, that would certainly be a factor considered when thinking about awarding future events. The NFL embraces inclusiveness, he added. NFL policies prohibit discrimination based on age, gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, or any other improper standard.
HB 2 continues to cost several North Carolina cities the chance to host professional and collegiate sports events, including this year's National Basketball Association All-Star Game and numerous tournaments and championship games of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Officials at the NCAA began reviewing bids to host events through 2022 this week, including 133 from North Carolina cities and universities. A six-year ban could cost the state up to $250 million. Scott Dupree of the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance told Reuters that, "Our contacts at the NCAA tell us that, due to their stance on HB2, all North Carolina bids will be pulled from the review process and removed from consideration." Recently elected Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who opposed HB2 as the state's attorney general, has tried in vain to convince the Republican-dominated legislature to rescind the law, which also bans local governments from protecting their LGBT citizens from discrimination. Repeal efforts in a special legislative session called for that purpose failed in December.
And finally, Joel Maldonado is a Cub Scout again. His local pack in Secaucus, New Jersey, kicked him out late last year after some parents complained that he's transgender. The Boy Scouts of America claimed last week that the highly reported story was just coincidental to their announcement that transgender applicants who identify as boys would be welcomed into the venerable youth organization's ranks, as would transgender adult leaders. The BSA opened membership to openly gay scouts in 2013 and to out adult leaders in 2015. BSA officials immediately invited Joe to rejoin the Scouts, but he's now part of a pack in Maplewood, New Jersey. Christy Maldonado, Joe's mom, told Yahoo News reporter Katie Couric that because of the original hostility, she didn't feel comfortable letting her son return to the Secaucus pack. For his part, now 9-year-old Joe Maldonado is really happy to be a Cub Scout again. And when asked by Couric what he'd tell other trans kids, he offered advice beyond his years.
Don't be scared for who you are. There's very negative people out there, but as long as your family supports you, you're doing good. You're doing good.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 11th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I am Danny Cruz.
And I'm Frances O'Brien.
It's been 5 years just Skyping. All my breaks, my lunches at work, wherever I go, I have to hold the Skype, and I'm tired from it. I need to hold him, not hold the Skype.
Later in the program, a refugee love story that could have been trumped, but first, a cinematic love story that could have been dumped.
Rope, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In the 1940s and 50s, depictions of homosexuality were disallowed on the silver screen, and censors were even on the lookout for hidden subtext. In the Alfred Hitchcock film Rope, Farley Granger and John Dahl played homosexual lovers who murder a former prep school classmate on a whim. The homosexual subtext served as the tension underlying the drama. As the film's screenwriter Arthur Lawrence put it, there wasn't a word of dialogue that said the two men were lovers or homosexuals, but there wasn't a scene between them where it wasn't clearly implied. While this theme got by the censors, they did disallow a few phrases in the script, like, "My dear boy," calling them homosexual dialogue. Before the filming of Rope, Granger met Lawrence at a party. They ended up living together for 4 years, but double-dated with actresses to appease the studio bosses. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John DeBoer.
Candidate Donald Trump professed profound concern for persecuted LGBTQ people in predominantly Muslim countries, but that compassion was not evident in President Trump's executive order banning immigrants from 7 of those countries. That makes a gay couple's narrow escape from Iraq even more poignant. Their story of devotion, repression, separation, and reunion was told in the documentary hit Out of Iraq, which you can see at logotv.com. As a Valentine's Day of romance and resistance fills the air, This Way Out's Steve Pride focuses on the heart of their story. What?
My name is Nayef Harabit.
My name is Betu Alami.
Nayef, tell me about your life in Iraq.
I was just a normal gay guy, and I cannot be myself there. And I was studying in a fine art college. And after the war, I just worked with the U.S. Marines as translator.
When did you know you were gay?
I always know I'm gay, but it's not easy to be myself. With Iraq, with religious and the culture, is too difficult to be yourself because you get killed or they torture you to make you example for the others, either your own family. It's only hiding. That's the only way, is just to be acting in front of people the way how they want you to be.
And how did you become a translator?
After the war, and I just was graduate from my college, and I was very interesting to learn more about the English, and I saw the troops was doing a foot patrol back in my area in the south, and I just asked them if I could work with them, and they test my English, which is I learned from the English movies and the music, and they said, oh, you know what, you could help us to training the new police, which is, this was a very basic in the beginning as translator, and after that I start learning more and more. In 2003, when the war started, everyone was happy with Americans, especially in the South. The dangers come after the militias coming out. And the militias and the religious people, sinful people, and anyone working with Americans is traitor. Those come here to get our home from us. All that poison thinking is what make us a target and make me, as translator, a target from a lot of bad people.
But who, how did you two meet?
He working translator, I'm soldier. We not speak English. We don't understand American military. He translators, talk with me and with everyone in Iraq military. I see him every day. Sometimes we need help. We talk to him. Excuse me, we need help. He translators with Marines military.
And a rep.
The first time I saw him, I was sitting and it was very warm in the afternoon and he was coming out of the shower. And I said, oh my God, that guy is really hot. But I was never think he have a feeling to know me more like how I did. But one day we go mission together for clearing the general hospital from the terrorists. And in that mission, we stay in the home together like it was Iraqi battalion, which is his battalion, and American team, which is the Met team and the Marines, and some also some bullies. And we sit in that home 15 days. So we was doing our patrols in a day. And at night, we was sitting together and he started inviting me for dinner and lunches. And we start talking and talking till we know each other more.
But two, did you think he may be gay?
I feeling inside is same we call gaydar, but not easy. I talk to him, I think you gay or not gay. But after 3 days, my inside so strong, I told him, I love you. He don't give me answer, just kiss me.
After this kiss, I just know he want me. I mean, we could be together because he have the same feeling. And so that mean he's gay, you know. Same time, it was very dangerous. It was an American base. And it's difficult for us to be together. It's difficult from the Iraqi soldiers, difficult from the American side. We cannot just be ourselves there. So we started going different cities to meet at the hotel there and keep meeting each other till I get out to come to the United States.
Tell me about leaving. How did that come about?
There's a program to help translators because their life in danger to help them to go and live in the United States, give them asylum. And I have friends, they already did that, so I applied for my asylum, and I got it after 11 months. We heard about life outside Iraq and the Syria's queer as folk. We saw there is a gay community, they can be themselves, because the way how we was living in Iraq, we not have a lot of touch with the other worlds. We thought it's the same things, no one would accept any gay. But after I saw that series, and I said, oh my God, we could be ourselves, we could married, we could adopt kids, we could do a lot. That's the life I want, that's the life he's want.
Talk about the incredible journey he had to go through to get over here.
It took us 5 years of process. When we apply with the UN, we know there's a lot of other people, but we thought they're going to take care of him just to be as a gay. But we surprised in his first interview, he said they not really care about gays. They care about families more.
You make it to the U.S., and he only makes it as far as Lebanon. Then what?
Because he'd been in military, they start just to reject him because they think he was a witness for torturing. And in the same time, he was legally there, so he cannot go anywhere because a lot of checkpoint in that country. And any time he cut, he will send back to Iraq, which is, they already know about our relationship, and they will kill him.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio news magazine produced by, about, and for our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
This is Steve Pride speaking with Batu Alami and Naref Heredid. Naref, a translator for the U.S. military, and Batu, a soldier in the Iraqi army, faced persecution and possibly death if they stayed in their homeland. But immigration was a rough road, and after obtaining a visa, Naref was forced to leave his love behind, settling in Seattle, with the determination to one day reunite with Batu in a place where they could express their love freely and without fear.
I come here and it's shock, it's beautiful, it's very gay friendly. They have a very good LGBT community there. It makes me sad because I'm not here with him. I'm here without him, and I always feeling I'm guilty. I'm the one put him in this. He's staying in this cage back in that country, and I'm here free. So we just communicate together all that time by Skype, night, days, you know, watching each other, how we sleep, eating together by putting the plates in the front of the camera. I eat breakfast, he eat dinner. And we keep in touch all that time, which is make our relationship more stronger. He know everything's about where I go, what's about my life and everything's, and I know everything's about him and how he feeling, you know.
Batu, what was it like for you? And take your time.
I speak Arabic and I can translate, okay?
Okay.
هو من باب الأول كان كل صعب يعني.
Most difficult. We have different times. We have there is a night there and there is a sun here, which is make us feel we more farther up away from each other. But he say by the sky, by we having a touch together every single day, every moment we free, that will make us have a hope. We will make that time going together, and we're gonna be in the same time.
So how did Batu get out?
We heard about Canadian program. It's called Five Sponsor, which is if you know five Canadian people, they could sponsor you and helping you and take care of you so you could get immigrate to go living in it. So we go there and we met the Rainbow Refugee Organization and the United Church of Canada, and they work with it, and they was very nice people, and they do his paperwork. And after 6 months, the Canadian Embassy in Lebanon, they ask him about his first interview, and he get accepted in his first interview. They not focus his military life, they focus about his gay life, which is make it much easier for him to understand what he go through.
Well, tell me about the meeting, the reunion.
The big moment is in Canada, in Vancouver. I went from Seattle to Vancouver Airport in Canada, and I was waiting, and I was like, is that really happening? Is that really he's coming? We're going to have the same time. We're going to hold each other. We're going to go to places together. You know, we're going to eat together. We now have to use the Skype because I'm really tired from Skype. It's been 5 years just Skyping every single time. All my breaks, my lunches at work, wherever I go, I have to hold the Skype. And I'm tired from it. I need to hold him, not hold the Skype. So when I saw him, he was wearing a T-shirt with a picture of me and him. And he just came and I called him, hey, baby, you know. And I believe it. He's here. And for him, he's taken him like at least a week to feel like he's really here. And I keep visit him every single week for a year and a half. Every single week. We get married in Vancouver first, just for the paperwork. And I get my citizen. And in that time, it's much easier for me to make him come and live with me in the United States. And we do our paperwork, and they ask us for an interview back in Montreal. So we fly all that way to Montreal, and it was 27 below the zero. And in 10 minutes, after she asked me a question, asked us both, she said, you've been accepted to the United States. Just 10 minutes. We've been waiting 5 years to hear that. I want to scream. But I could, because it's a lot of people and I'm in the embassy. So he said, just wait till we get out. And I just get crazy and scream and keep screaming. And he take me to the room and I keep screaming and screaming because this is what I've been waiting all that years. You know, it's finally heaven. Finally is heaven. Finally, we he gonna come and live with me with the place we would like to live in. And that's how is it. That's how it might feel. And it was March 6, 2015. And I come in the morning and we get the passport with the visa. And we come and we surprise all our friends with Betu. And after that, we get married in August.
8.
August 8.
What's your life like here in the States now?
Oh, my God. I feel I'm the most happy in person now. I can focus in my art. I can focus in my work, which is I already get new position as a manager in home decor. And when I see Betu working and going to school and excited and people like us about how we RP, that's the place called home. We love Iraq. We never want to leave Iraq. But we cannot live with people they don't want us to live there, who want to kill us and make us example and torture us.
Our home here in the United States, we now help 8 people.
We make a group, it's called New Life. We make it since we was in Canada. The group is between Canadian Americans and a lot of Iraqis. We already sponsor 8 LGBT people from Iraq. We help them to find a job, give their stand, tell them about the culture, teach them how they use the bus, you know. So our message is that's the kind of help. It's not should be money. Just do whatever you could to help those people to get in their feet. It's not easy for you to live all of your life back there. And you come here and you, yes, it's better, it's free. You could be yourself, but it's still different. It's still not home. It's still not the language. And mostly those people, they're not speaking English.
Same for me. Before, I'm not speaking English. Now, it's fine. Not 100%, but I understand something. Now, my life here, my home here, I love him. He my family.
What is it about him that you love most?
Everything.
This has been a conversation with Nayef Harabin and Betu Alami. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Francis O'Brien, Danny Cruz, Judd Proctor, and Brian Burns with John DeBoer, Armistead Maupin, and Steve Pride contributed program material. String Space, Howard Jones, and Hathaway performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, the Gay Chemist Support Fund of Horizons Foundation, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Richard Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2SER Sydney, New South Wales, WRIR Richmond, Virginia, KLAI Fort Bragg, Laytonville, Willits, California, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!